This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Peter Curti from the Centre for Independent Studies. And Peter has spoken to us before. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Mac. I'm very well, thank you. Great to be back on the program.
It's lovely to have you back. Are you have you recovered from Wednesday's result? Were you surprised by the strength of the result?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think the result was completely consistent with polling. A number of polls, in fact, Galaxy and News Poll got that right. I think all of us were a bit wary about polling after they got Brexit wrong and they got Trump wrong, but the result was pretty much as I expected to be, and I think it's a good result, and it shows it because it's a decisive result. 60-40 is a very decisive result, with six in ten Australians voting in favour. I think it shows that Australians care about marriage and that the desire to make a public commitment is actually extremely strong and growing. And I also think it shows that we're a new meaning of marriage is actually emerging in our society, and that's very clearly shown by the result as well. So, no, I wasn't surprised, and I think it's a good result.
Good morning, Peter. It's Tass here. I hope you're well.
Tass, good morning.
Good morning to you. We were chatting earlier on that perhaps this postal survey about marriage equality was really not about marriage equality after all, that it really had become a barometer about society's preparedness to allow LGBTI folk to participate fully as equals in our society. What's your response to that?
Well, I think in part that's true. I mean, I think there are other factors as well. I think we had the survey because of the political machinations that went on in the Parliament. I mean, really, I'm not personally in favour of plebiscites, but I think if we had a plebiscite with compulsory voting, we might have had an even clearer result. So I think there's been a lot of politics around this. I think the question of same-sex marriage has become very important in Australia within the last 10 years. I mean, other countries have already legislated. Spain, I think, as far back as 2005, if I'm right.
Yes.
So I think the issue that you raise certainly is on the back of that. It's about the standing of LGBTQI people in society, and about the way in which I think it gives an opportunity for other Australians to show what their view about people in different relationships is, and I think they've done that very clearly.
This takes me back to a comment that our very own Macca has made on this very show, actually. Aren't we all God's people?
God's work.
God's work.
Oh, yes, I don't disagree with that at all. I think, in fact, Macca, you put that question to me when I was down with you in the studio in August. I think that's absolutely right. I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, but Peter, when I look at Macca, I can tell you God's done a better job with some of us than others. This must be my get stuck into Macca morning or something. Sorry, Peter, yeah. It's Robert here.
I was going to ask Peter, so one of the issues we discussed last time and you expressed some concern or some reservations about, and I'm paraphrasing here, the state of religious freedom in Australia, and that you saw, you know, potentially this was an issue that you were concerned about, and I understand that concern. Do you think that Australians, with all the arguments that were made against voting yes for this, and, you know, bearing in mind 40% of Australians voted no, those issues of religious freedom, and I'm talking about the mainstream discussion, not people like Lyle Shelton and others, is that still a concern for you? Or do you think Australians have said, you know, and this is different to what Tass said, this is about marriage equality. We don't buy into those arguments about this being about religious freedom. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a very interesting question. And I said in my opening remarks that I think we're seeing a new meaning of marriage emerging here. And if I can just say a bit more about that, I think we've got a traditional view, as it were, a religious view of marriage, which sees traditional stroke religious view, which sees marriage as being the union of a man and a woman. But we're seeing a new view, which we might call a secular view, which sees that it's not actually about a man and a woman, but it's about any two people who are obviously not within the prohibited degrees of relationship, but any two people who want to make a public commitment of their love for each other. Now, the 40% of the people who voted against that, some of them may be religious, some may just have a traditional view of marriage. But if there are religious people, and I think it was rather different in Melbourne, but in Sydney we had large swathes of Western Sydney actually voted no. A lot of those, of course, are Labour-held seats.
Peter, I thought we were actually changing an Act of Parliament, not the Bible.
Sorry, I didn't hear the first part.
I thought we were changing a clause in an Act of Parliament, not a clause in the Bible.
Well, that's right, but I think it's the view of marriage that people who voted no have, and the view that they have is informed by their religious tradition. So if they're asked, do you think the law related to marriage should be changed, they would say, and just reading comments in today's papers, people would say, actually, no, a woman from Sudan in Sydney saying, no, it's against my religion, it's against my culture. So I don't think the law should change. So we have a substantial number of people who do not accept. Well, I don't know if they don't accept, but they voted against. I mean, I think that we will all accept the result. At least I hope we do.
But, Peter, it's Robert again. I'd argue one of the things that happened here was that previously that traditional view of marriage had as one of its absolute linchpins a matter of gender. It has to be a man and a woman. And this change has actually taken it away from the nature of definition by gender and saying, no, this is about a union.
I agree with you. I think that's right.
And therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's a man and a woman or a man and a man and or a woman and a woman, as you say, outside the prohibited areas. And therefore, it puts all the emphasis and definition very squarely on union, marriage. And that to me is what brings the equality part of the equation into it.
Robert, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what's happened. And that's what's lying behind this secular meaning of marriage. It's the way in which 60% of Australians who are surveyed understand marriage. It's actually not about something, a relationship based on a holy bond, as it were, but it's something that formalizes companionship. It formalizes a relationship. It formalizes a very special friendship. I agree with you. I think that's exactly what we're seeing.
Peter, in terms of the churches in Australia, and let's talk about one particular church, I suppose the Anglican Church, we've seen a difference in approach in different areas of Australia. We saw the Anglican Church in Sydney donate a lot of money.
$1 million.
$1 million. In terms of how this is going to play out, and let's assume that the bill that's in the Parliament passes, which I think it will, and that ministers will be able to refuse to marry a same-sex couple in their church if it's, you know. My question is that going to be a hard and fast rule for the Anglican Church, or will individual ministers in individual parishes be able to make a decision, or will they be governed by head office, so to speak?
That's a very good question. Under the Marriage Act 1961, ministers can already refuse to marry people. It's not an absolute requirement that people can get married. So there is a discretion already. How the churches will respond, I think, in the terms of the Anglican Church, of which I'm a member, it would depend on each diocese. In some dioceses where there may be a much more relaxed view of this, about the change to the law, it may well be that individual ministers can exercise discretion. In the Diocese of Sydney, where I live and work, and I have to say the donation of $1 million was very controversial here, and there were a lot of people. I think it was an unwise decision myself, and a lot of people were very unhappy that $1 million, which is a lot of money, was basically put into the hands of advertisers. If the Archbishop of Sydney, whose license I hold, says to me, you cannot exercise discretion on this matter. It would be a disciplinary offence for me to go against his will, and he could remove my licence. So I don't know how that will play out. It could be that in some areas of the Anglican Church, ministers do have discretion. In others, it wouldn't surprise me if the bishops said, no, you cannot exercise discretion, not if you hold a licence in this diocese.
But Peter, it's Robert again, I'm an Anglican as well. And, mm-hmm. and look, the Sydney diocese has always been the most conservative in Australia. And I tend to think that they will move on. If you recall, if we go back not that long ago, it was the Sydney diocese that also opposed the ordination of women.
Well, women are still not ordained as priests in
correct.
The diocese.
Yeah, correct.
We have women deacons in the diocese, but
yep.
we don't have women priests.
Yep.
And, of course, we don't have women bishops.
No.
There's not been any change there.
For you, it hasn't, no. But that's not the case in the rest of the church.
No, that's right. But the Anglican Church, as you all know, is quite a federal arrangement, and
correct.
Dioceses do have a lot of autonomy.
They do, yeah.
Now, I want to put you on the spot on this one, Peter. If you... you have a license, so you can do marriages, you can do ceremonies, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So if I wanted to get married and I wanted you to officiate, would you?
I knew you were going to ask me that question or something like that. I knew you'd ask me, and that's great that you do this. I love to be put on the spot on the program. The honest answer to you is I don't know. I'd have to see what was required. If there was a way around that, and it was you asking me, Macca, I would be happy to look into that. There might be, I don't want to get overly technical, but, you know, if it wasn't in an Anglican church, if it wasn't in the state of New South Wales.
Okay, in Melbourne.
Well, again...
In Macca's garage.
So are you asking if I was... Because my license as a marriage celebrant is, of course, in New South Wales. This is getting a bit technical.
Okay.
I don't know if I can marry people without permission in another state. If it was in this state and we did not have a marriage ceremony in a church, it's conceivable that I would be permitted to do that, but I would have to make some inquiries.
Would you do it?
Yeah, make some inquiries, Peter.
I'll make some inquiries, Macca. I'll get back to you.
Really quickly, what is the feeling in the Anglican Church and in Sydney? What is the feeling post this result? I'd like to think that the Church could actually move... beyond this being, you know, as you've classified it as a secular issue, there are a lot of people in my community that are people of faith and that are Anglicans and that would really like their Anglican parish, their priest, to be able to marry them. What is the feeling, and do you think it's the Anglican Church in Sydney, do you think the view is going to change?
I'll take the first part first, if I may. I think there's a general feeling of relief, the feeling of relief that it's over, a feeling that it's so decisive, a feeling that there is no part of the country that recorded, apart from parts of Queensland and parts of Western Sydney, which recorded substantial, there may be one or two others, but which recorded any substantial no vote. The country has overwhelmingly said yes, and I think there's relief here about that. My sense of the diocese is that they will move on. I mean, the diocese has to accept a change in the law, and the Australian people have spoken, and this legislation will go to the Parliament. I'm certain, I agree with you what you said earlier, I'm certain it will pass, possibly with new provisions being introduced by George Brandis. I think the Church now will shift its focus. I'm not really an insider in Sydney, but I think in the diocese, but I think that my sense is that the focus of the Church will now shift from campaigning about the meaning of marriage to ensuring that the kind of protections that they want to see in place, not the right to discriminate, but the kind of protections and exemptions that they want to see in place are there. That's where I think the direction will shift.
We're almost out of time, Peter, but it would be remiss of me if I didn't ask you what's your view about some of the behaviours that were expressed in Parliament in the last few days? And I'm referring to some of the supposed religious freedom provisions and amendments that were made, which went completely outside the scope of marriage. For example, publicly funded terminations. What's your view about some of that?
Sorry, I don't quite understand the question.
The question is, what's your view about some of the behaviours that were expressed in Parliament in the guise of them being about protecting religious freedoms?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think often what we see in Parliament is the outworking of a democratic process. So people will get up and they'll say things and they will make their views known, and they may say things in the heat of the moment, and they may take more entrenched positions. But I see that as being, and that's on both sides of politics, but I see that really as being an outworking of the process, because what will happen is this will come to a vote and then the matter will be resolved. So it doesn't worry me too much when parliamentarians exchange points of view and say things that may or may not be views that they really hold or would want to have repeated or would even necessarily repeat again themselves. But what happens when it comes to a vote, and how decisively will the legislation be passed? That, I think, is what's most important. I'm okay with seeing how the process works out within the chamber.
Peter, we actually have run out of time, unfortunately. But as always, it's great to have a conversation with you. It's great to sort of explore issues on the more sort of the right side of the spectrum from our point of view.
I look forward to the result of your inquiries.
Thanks, Macca. It's always a great pleasure to be on the program.
Have a great day. Thank you for coming on again.
Thank you.
All the best. Bye.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.